Would you all stand with me this morning as we read from the Gospel of Luke in the 7th chapter? We're going to be reading just a neat day in the life of Jesus very early in his ministry. In Luke chapter 7, it says, "Then one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. He went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who had lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood beside or behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner.' And Jesus answered Simon, 'I have something to tell you.' 'Tell me, teacher,' he said. 'Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?' Simon replied, 'I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven.' 'You've judged correctly,' Jesus says. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put out oil or pour oil on my head, but she's poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little.' Then Jesus said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' The other guests began to say among themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sins?' Jesus said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" Our Father in heaven, Lord, we've left our homes this morning to come to this house, to come to this place of gathering, this place of meeting here in Irvine. We gather here, Lord, to worship God Almighty in spirit and truth. We come this morning to understand, to learn, to sit at the feet of Jesus and ask you to teach us. We ask you, Jesus, this morning to tell us a story. Tell us a story about who you are and about who we are in your presence. I ask, Lord, that you would touch our eyes this morning, that we might see, and that you would touch our ears this morning, that we might hear what it is that you might speak unto us. We pray this for the glory of the Lord Jesus and for his kingdom. And this we pray in his blessed and holy name. And all those who love Jesus to say what? Amen. Amen. You all may be seated. You're being seated, I just want to show you a picture this morning. This picture has been on my mind for the last 2 weeks. As you know, that we are planning a trip to Israel, and I am trying to squeeze in this place on our first day. It's called Mount Arbel, and it's one of these places I love to go sit up on this. Do you guys know what lake that is? It's the Sea of Galilee. Sitting up on this rock, if you just leave it here, I love to come up and sit on this rock and look in this direction, because in this direction is the city of Chorazin. It's the city of Bethsaida, the city of Capernaum. By the way, Magdala is just down at the bottom of the hill, but notice they haven't found it yet in this picture. Just been dug up. I love to go up and sit on Mount Arbel. I like to take my group there the first day, because this is the place where Jesus began his ministry. As that picture's there, I just leave it there, but I want to read this, because there's commentary given in the Gospel of Matthew, And it says this, and let me just read this to you as you look at this picture. In Matthew chapter 4, it says, "Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum," just over there on the northern tip, "which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.' And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" This is where Jesus begins his ministry, as the prophet Isaiah in the 9th chapter says, that Messiah will begin his ministry here. I love to go up on this hill, and when we go up there, our messianic guide, Sarah, is just this beautiful sister, this beautiful daughter of Abraham, she comes up here and she tells us that the word Gennesaret, or Galilee in Hebrew, means wave. And she likes to say, and this is the place where the wave of Messiah began, that splashes over the whole earth. It's here that Jesus' ministry began, according to the prophets. This is where Jesus began teaching. First here, on planet Earth, this is the little place, the epicenter of the ministry of Messiah, that began here, and from here, splashed all over Israel, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. His wave began here, and it's even splashed into our lives in this room. I love to go sit on this mountain and look down, and this is where Jesus began his ministry of teaching, his ministry of healing, his ministry of saying and giving us in this room the most amazing stories that the world has ever heard. The greatest storyteller in humanity, the most famous storyteller in humanity, is Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus' stories actually have been given a special name. They're called parables. And a parable is a heavenly truth given in an earthly setting as God communicates to man. Jesus' stories are called parables. And Jesus' parables are powerful. We're still reading them. We're still studying them. We're still listening to them 2,000 years later. Last week, we began a new series called Tell Me a Story. And for the next weeks, we just want Jesus to tell us a story. We're going to ask Jesus to tell us heavenly truths placed in earthly settings. Last Sunday, we began in the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke says that he speaks with sequence of the ministry of Jesus. And so we read the very first parable that Jesus ever gave was in Luke chapter 5. And last week, we studied that parable about Jesus speaking to the religious leaders of the day and telling them that if they're going to understand him, they're going to need to change. And he spoke the parable of new wine and old wineskins, of patches on garments, that you're going to have to change. It's a parable about change. And he tells the religious leaders, if you don't change, we're going to have problems. First parable Jesus ever gave. This morning, we're going to go to the second parable that Jesus ever gave. And it's a powerful parable. As Jesus is healing people, and as religious leaders from Jerusalem came to Galilee to say, who is this? And they began meeting Jesus for the first time, and they began having problems with Jesus. The Pharisees were having big problems with Jesus because he could say that he could forgive sins, and then he'd heal people. And they're like, we don't like that you do this. As you read from Luke 5 into Luke 6, Jesus gets in trouble again because he heals on the Sabbath. That's wrong in their eyes. From Luke chapter 5 to Luke chapter 6, Jesus and the Pharisees are constantly, they're badgering Jesus because they don't like what he's saying. They don't like that he's breaking the rules, their rules. But in Luke chapter 7, Jesus does something that blows people away. Do you know what he does? In Luke chapter 7, Jesus does something that makes the Pharisees say, can we do dinner? What do you think Jesus did to where the Pharisees just said, we need to do dinner? Do you know what he did? it's so beautiful. In Luke chapter 7, this is what Jesus did. Jesus left this place. He went to the left, which is toward Nain. There's a town in southern Galilee in the region this way. And as Jesus was going that way, listen to this, in Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and said to mom, "Don't cry." Happy Mother's Day, right? And then he went up and touched the briar, the stretcher that they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still, and Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Happy Mother's Day. They were all filled with awe. They were all filled with awe. "Praise God, a great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. I love this scene. There's a crowd of people going with Jesus, heading into this town. And this crowd is talking. They're joyful. They're in amazement. They're in wonder. It's a crowd of people following the miracle man, heading into Nain. Right at the gate, there's a crowd of people leaving the city. And this crowd has a completely different countenance about it. They're crying. They're mourning. They're weeping. And these two crowds collide at the city gate. And Jesus sees what's going on. And it was Mother's Day. No. And so he heals. He raises the dead, people. And the moment he does that, guess what? The crowds become one crowd, and they're all joyful and blown away. The Pharisees hear this, and they're like, "Can we do dinner, Jesus? Can we please do dinner? You ate with a tax collector and sinners in Capernaum. You ate with a tax collector. Could you please have dinner with me?" And it's the first time that Jesus was ever invited to dinner at a Pharisee's house. And Jesus shows up. Jesus goes to the Pharisee's house for dinner very early on in his ministry. And it's a beautiful thing. I mean, the Pharisees totally don't get Jesus. He's demonstrating the power of God, but he's breaking the rules. Their interpretation of how we're supposed to fulfill the laws of Moses. So Jesus is confusing to the religious leaders. And I could just, it was so fun to talk about this sermon on Thursday. Pastor Graham and Pastor Vince and my brother Mike, we're all talking about, can you imagine what was the conversation that Jesus was having? These are all theologians. You can imagine them trying, they were probably quizzing Jesus on Sabbath and this and this. And you know the story. Jesus is teaching. Jesus is speaking. He's sitting at this table, and it says that they're reclining. See, in the days in which they ate, they ate in what was called a triclinium. That means that there was a table around, and everybody kind of sat like leaning against the table, and their feet would be out. So Jesus is reclining at the table. He's having a discussion with the Pharisees, right? Luke chapter 7, it says this. Then one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. He went to the Pharisee's house. He reclined at the table. Doesn't tell us the conversation. We can only guess, but I'm sure it was theological. A woman in that town who had lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him, at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Can you picture this? Then she wipes them with her hair, kisses them, and pours perfume. Luke doesn't tell us this woman's story, except that she had a reputation of a sinful life. She's probably a prostitute. She obviously knew about Jesus. She's probably publicly heard him teach. Maybe she saw him heal. Maybe she was working the city gate that day and saw Jesus raise the dead. But clearly she heard him and his teaching of a kingdom of hope, of love, of repentance, of forgiveness. His words that no one is beyond the reach of God, even tax collectors. And clearly God was dealing with her sins, with her heart. She hears that Jesus is eating at the Pharisee's house. She comes in, she stands behind him and starts to cry. Her tears fall on his feet. And then the only towel she has is her hair. So then bends down and begins drying off his feet with her hair. Can you picture this, people? And he's reclining at the table, and then she kneels down and starts kissing his feet. And then she takes out, which is of great value to her, some perfume, begins washing his feet. Now, do you think that it would be hard for the Pharisees and Jesus to have a conversation while this was happening? I'm sure this just shut the crowd. They're all looking at this, right? This is a mic drop. This is a boom. What is this? By the way, are you touched by this scene? Are you touched just by hearing this scene? How many people in here are like, that is a beautiful scene? I am touched by this scene. What's happening with this woman? Are you touched? Do you think God was touched by this scene? Do you think the Pharisee was touched by this scene? Did the Pharisee look over and say, that is so amazing? Look what clearly God is at work in this woman's heart. Is that what the Pharisee? What's so sad is we should be touched by this scene. The Pharisee wasn't even touched by this scene. Do you know what he was? He was disgusted by this scene. And there lies the problem. Behold the problem. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he says to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is. Do you know what she is, people? She's a sinner. She's a sinner. He's disgusted by this scene. It's in this setting that Jesus gives his second parable of his ministry. Jesus answered him, I didn't ask you a question. How do you know what's going on in my mind? In my mind, if this man, Jesus just reads his mind, right? That would freak anyone out. Jesus answers him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, Rabbi, tell me, teacher. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii. The other owed 50 denarii. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose. I almost wonder if there's tone in that. I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You've judged correctly, says Jesus. Jesus just gives a surgical strike of his parable. Whenever Jesus gives a story, it just comes with weight and power. When Jesus would just pop off with a story, it's at the perfect place, at the perfect time, at the perfect setting. Jesus, what he just did, he just told a parable, and immediately he just described what was going on in the room between the Pharisee and the woman. He just described perfectly what was going on and explained what was happening beautifully. And just a little parable, a little story he gave. It comes with weight and power and pop. And I think immediately the Pharisee knew what Jesus was saying to him. Wham! There are three people in the parable. This is a person that is owed money to, and there are two people that owes him a bunch of money, some more than others. A denarius is a one day's wage of a laborer in the days of Rome. So if you owed 50 days or 50 denarii, that's like 2 months of your wages. How much do you make in a month? How much would that be you if you owed 2 months' wages? 500 denarii would be about 2 years. How much money do you make a year? Imagine owing what you make times two. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came in your house and you did not give me any water for my feet, but she's wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered does not stop kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she's poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins," Jesus agrees. Hey, she's got a lot of sins, I know. "Her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus says to the woman, "Your faith, young lady, has saved you." And he tells her, "You go in peace." Jesus uses this parable to just describe everything that's happening in that room. In these few words, Jesus describes what's happening in that room, not just externally, but really at the heart of the matter. I want you to take notes this morning if you'd like to. You're going to be in growth groups this week. Have fun with this one. Because here's the second story that Jesus ever gave. Jesus' second parable. Write this down. A parable is an earthly truth or a heavenly truth placed in an earthly setting. Jesus' second parable is directed to the religious people of the day, just like his first parable. And it's all about love related to forgiveness. Jesus' parable is about love related to forgiveness. When Jesus entered this Pharisee's house, nothing exceptional was done for Jesus. He was treated with indifference, maybe snubness even. And Jesus calls him out on it. "Man, you didn't do any. Man, your hospitality. I mean, I'm eating with you. That's an honor. Why didn't you wash my feet? Did you know in the day, and it's really crazy, even if you go meet Israel today, you'll see Arabs, they'll go up and they'll kiss one another on the cheek. It's just a custom of the day. Men will do this." Jesus didn't get a kiss when he entered this Pharisee's house. That was a little rude. Jesus is like, "You didn't wash my feet? That's a little rude." Jesus starts calling out the Pharisee. He says there's characters in this room. The Pharisee and the sinful woman. And in his parable, he places them both in the story as two debtors. Those who have been forgiven more loves more. See, the people of Jesus' day would have assumed that the religious-minded Pharisees had the greatest love of God. And yet Jesus here praises not the pious Pharisee, but a notorious repentant sinner for her great love. I mean, that's a total twist. In this room eating dinner, Jesus does not have a problem with her. Who does he have a problem with? The Pharisee. Take notes. In all his studying, the Pharisee had misunderstood the heart of God and his love for people. This Pharisee had memorized the Old Testament. This Pharisee was a scholar, and yet Jesus is saying, you have misunderstood who God is and his love for people. This woman is not an enemy of God. This woman is not hated by God, but she's a lost sheep to be cared for, to be given mercy. Jesus is telling this Pharisee, you are looking at her wrong. She is a human being made in the image of God. She is a daughter of Abraham who is loved by God. You are seeing, Jesus is telling this Pharisee, you are seeing her wrong. You're looking at her saying, the sick sinner woman, right? God is in heaven, and God loves the Jewish people, and he hates the Gentiles, and he hates the Jewish people that don't follow him right. God loves me, but he hates everyone else. Jesus says, you have misunderstood who God is and how he loves. He loves this lady. This woman doesn't deserve being snubbed, but be given mercy because God loves her. So Jesus has an issue because this man is seeing her wrong. He's misunderstood her. And guess what else he's misunderstood? Himself. In all his studying, he has misunderstood himself before a holy God. Hey, it's funny. If Jesus knew who this woman was, he can't be a prophet. Because if he knew who she was, she's a sinner. Who's he? Who's he? If she's a sinner, who's he? He's self-righteous in his own understanding of following the law. And thus he's judgmental, conceited. He's satisfied with his own goodness. I'm a good person, not like this sinner. He doesn't see the magnitude of his debt or his sin before a holy God, and thus his love is not more but less than hers. See, this Pharisee needs to change the first parable that Jesus gave to the religious leaders. If you want to get me, you need new wine because you are not seeing this right. This Pharisee needs to change his way of thinking, his way of living, his way of believing about her and about God and about himself. He needs a new wineskin of thought. See, here's the deal. This Pharisee needed to take a fresh look in the mirror. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Can I ask you a question? Have you looked in the mirror lately at who you are? Have you seen your faults? How many people in here have a fault? Just one, maybe. How about a flaw? Have you lately been aware of your flaws? Have you in here been aware of your sin? See, we all need to look in the mirror, all of us do, and be honest with ourselves. See, this Pharisee looks in the mirror and sees her faults, her flaws, and her sins, but doesn't see his own. That's a problem. You need to rethink this. We all need to look in the mirror. See, I want to tell you something. The person next to you is a sinner. Probably the person next to you maybe has committed more sins than you have. Maybe so. Should you sit next to that person if this person's committed more sins than you? Are you offended sitting next to this person? What if this person next to you has committed 20,000 more sins than you have? Should you be offended sitting next to this person? But what if the person next to you has committed 5,000 sins less than you? Then should this person be offended sitting next to you? Right? See, we're all in here. And some of us in here have sinned more than others. But we've all sinned. We all have debts. There was a Pharisee that used to think the way that this Pharisee did. But this Pharisee that I want to talk about had an encounter with Jesus that totally changed his way of thinking. This Pharisee was brought truth to him about who he was before God. This Pharisee is called the Apostle Paul. See, the Apostle Paul totally understands what this Pharisee was thinking because he used to be there. But he met Jesus and he had new wineskins put on his eyes. And the Apostle Paul writes this, and he almost is writing it to this Pharisee in Romans chapter 3. It says this, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in the sight of God by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we became conscious of our sin." See, the law, the Torah, the five books of Moses, it's not there to, it's like a body scan. You ever been to the doctor and they do a body scan on you? The body scan is there just to reveal you that you have a disease in your body, right? But it doesn't cure you. It just shows you that you've got a problem. "Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt honor thy father and mother." These don't justify you. They condemn you. Jesus says this, "Even if you look lustfully after a woman, you've already committed the sin of adultery in your heart." Jesus says, even if you think hateful words toward a person in your mind, you've murdered them in your heart. Who can stand before God? Nobody. No one. Who saves us from this? Jesus said this as he was frustrated with them in John chapter 5. It says, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life." Right? "And these are the very scriptures that testify about me, but you refuse to come to me that you have life." This doesn't save you. It tells you about a person coming that will save you. Jesus has a problem with the Pharisees. How much sin have you committed in your life? Have you ever thought about that? Let's say that starting in your terrible twos, we'll just start counting from there, okay? And let's be very generous and say that you average two sins a day since you were of your terrible twos. And let's say you're 50 in here. So if you take 50 times 365 times 2, you have 36,500 sins that you've committed. How many sins have you committed? Have you ever thought about that? See, Jesus is putting a number in his parable. This person, 50 denarii. This person, 500 denarii. Jesus put a number on the debts owed. I wonder how much your debt is before God. Have you ever thought about this? Not just in what you've done. Remember, there's just not deeds of commission. There's deeds of omission. Sins of things that you should have done, you haven't done. Do you realize? But by the way, what is the wages of sin? Death. Have you ever thought about this? How many times has Jesus saved your life on this cross? One sin after another sin after another sin after another sin after. How many sins has Jesus paid for you? I promise you that he's paid for more sins than you're aware of. And that's the problem with the Pharisee. See, he loves little because he's been forgiven little. I'm a pretty righteous guy. You have a problem. You have a problem. The cure for sin is Christ. Her faith in Jesus, she says, your faith is you are forgiven. Do you want Jesus to tell you a story this morning? Do you want to hear a story from Jesus this morning? Here's the story. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 50, the other 500 denarii. Neither of them had money to pay back, so he forgave the debts of both. Which of them will love him more? There's a story from Jesus to you this morning. Which one of them will love him more? Jesus has the power to forgive debts, to forgive sin, because he is God, and he willfully goes to a cross and pays for each and every one of our sins before a holy God so that you could be with him. How many sins have you committed in your life? There's a nice take-home question for you in your notes. I'd like for you to think about that this week. Who are you in the story? The woman or the Pharisee? Please don't be the Pharisee. Please don't be the Pharisee. Please don't be the Pharisee. The Pharisee hasn't looked in the mirror lately. The Pharisee hasn't come to realize his faults, his flaws, his sins. People, I am aware, I'm the pastor of this church. Every day I'm aware of the blood of Christ that cleanses me from my sin. And I just sit there, so many times I'll sit there and go, Jesus, dude, a guy cuts me off on the freeway, I might not saying anything with my lips, but you know what I'm thinking in my head? And you know, as soon as I think it in my head, I say, I'm sorry, Lord, because he knows. And immediately I'm like, the blood of Jesus. Jesus, I love you. You just washed me clean. How many sins has Christ forgiven you for? And continually. See, he who loves more, he who's been forgiven more, will be loved more. And I got to say this. The more I'm aware of my flaws and my faults and my sin, I am more merciful to other people. Have you noticed that about yourself? The more I'm aware of you, the more you become aware of you, the more you're less to throw stones at somebody else. Remember, Jesus says, you who has not sinned, throw the first stone. It says the older guys with the stones drop their stones first because they just know I've walked on this earth long enough. The more I'm aware of who I am, the more I'm more merciful to other people and compassionate to other people. The more I'm more aware of me, the more less judgmental I become of others. Have you noticed that about yourself? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? If you just think for a moment about what he's done for you, you will become like that woman that is just filled with gratitude as he washes away and takes away all your debt before God. When Jesus hangs on the cross, he says, it is finished, forgiven. Not a bad parable for number two, huh? Do you want God to speak to you today? Well, there he, God just spoke to you today in that parable. Which one are you? You have 50 or 500? You probably got 5,000 or 5 million or 550. Never mind. The more you dwell there, the more you'll say, Jesus, I love you. And the more you get in a realization of that, the more he'll smile and he'll tell you, you go in peace because your sins have been forgiven. The Pharisee was not given peace that day. The woman was. You go in peace. The Pharisee's sins weren't forgiven that day. The woman's was. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven, not yours. Yours are. You go. You and I need to keep talking. I wonder if this Pharisee ever figured it out. Maybe he did. Wow. How's that for Jesus? Do you guys, are you just impressed? Jesus is just amazing. He's quick, he's sharp, he's brilliant. His stories have weight to them and pop to them, and they just silence the crowds. His story he gave 2,000 years ago flies right into this room, and his truth is here. Let that one sit with you. And the more you dwell there, the more you might find yourself going, Jesus, I love you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you today. Jesus, we've gathered here asking that you would tell us a story this morning. And your words echo in this room. the wave of Messiah falls and floods over this place. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see God clearly this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see ourselves clearly this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see Jesus clearly this morning. And that, Lord, in the midst of it all, our mouths will be shut and all of us will become accountable before God, realizing that our wages of sin is separation from God. And yet God so loves the world that he gives his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him like this woman did will not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. Praise you, Jesus. Can we say that? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Can we say the count of three? One, two, three. Praise you, Jesus, for what you've done for me.